Welcome to episode 83, Stop Kicking My Tires. I'm your host, Sean Patrick Maloney. This week I want to talk to you about what is a tire kicker, how do we deal with them, and ultimately, how do we know the difference between a true tire kicker and somebody that's just nervous to start a relationship? That's an important thing to ask yourself, because most people come in as a tire kicker, but then in time they identify themselves for the true being that they are. We at first hear a story about they're not interested, maybe they have an agent, maybe they have someone else they're working with, they don't need a pre-approval, maybe they say at first they're a cash buyer. There's lots of times people tell us things that's not truthful in protection of themselves. They're just trying to set off the idea that they are not there, ready and able yet. They are just trying to figure it out. First off, what is a tire kicker? The term tire kicker comes from car sales. It's when the car salesman sees somebody come on. They don't ask many questions about the car, but they kick the tires. What does that mean? It means they actually take their foot and they kick the tire. This shows the car salesman that obviously they don't know much about cars, because what the heck kicking the tire is going to do? Check if there's air in the tires? They don't even open the hood. They don't even check any of the important details. So in most other businesses now, we've referred to the term as a tire kicker, being somebody who is not very serious, is not ready to go, is not on the way. They're just out there doing weird things. I'm sure in home sales, you've already seen that. You've got the people that don't even check the yard, or they don't look up in the attic, or they don't go down in the basement. Not that some people don't do those things and go forward, but most of the time, we already know when the person walks through in 2 seconds and they're really not that there. Sometimes they're not interested, but other times you can tell they're really not that real. It's not as easy as it used to be to root these people out because of the fact that we used to mostly work only with friends, families, and circle of influence. Now we work with internet-based buyers. Now we work with people we've never met before. Now people move further than ever from where they originally grew up, which means we're meeting new people and new ways of thinking every single day. Tire kickers are an interesting group. Like I said at the beginning, most often it's really just a protectionary clause. It's a way of them taking things and slowing it down. It's a way to them to have you think, okay, maybe they're not going to use me. First thing I want to tell you about tire kickers is never write one off. A lot of time, tire kickers are really just kicking the tires to figure out whether it's real or not. Figure out whether the deal is worth doing, whether you are worth talking to as an agent. So how do we know if we have a tire kicker? Well, one thing that we have in the real estate industry is the pre-approval. While I don't force everybody to get a pre-approval before the first showing, I certainly bring up the subject and I talk about it. And after the first showing, I then push the subject even further. We go to a second showing even further, and by the time you hit 3, if you're not getting pre-approved, go kick somebody else's tires. Now, do I always require it at a certain point? No, but that 3, it's really the magic number to me, because why would a person not want to do it? If they knew everything that they need to know about pre-approvals, they should feel fine. And I know by the third time I met with them, I can explain that pre-approvals are free. Pre-approvals don't hurt your credit report majorly. Pre-approvals also don't obligate you to a bank. So the idea of not doing a pre-approval is just going to tell us that they're kicking the tires a little further. But this also can be a point where we find out that maybe they are not a tire kicker, and we find out that they are a great client because they get a pre-approval and they thought they were a tire kicker. Now that's an interesting theory, right? Because there's times where the buyer thinks, yeah, I can't buy, so I'll go and look, I'm not real, and then they find out they can get a pre-approval, and maybe it's for more than they thought they could. And suddenly now they're a very excited buyer ready to go. The other thing about tire kickers is sometimes it's just early in the game. Sometimes it's just a little bit ahead of where they really want to be at. They're not quite there yet, so that makes them a tire kicker, which is where the risk comes in of just throwing tire kickers to the curb. Kicking the person out of your group or whatever you want to call your lead category, that's something that can end up burning you in the long run, because you'll read stories about these people when they close in the future. Knowing how to set up a long form of drip line versus just thinking every single lead needs a phone call today is a big part. Lead segmentation can really help you out with this, categorizing leads by A, B, C, D, or whatever categories you want. Here at my company, we use A, B, C, D. A is weekly, B is biweekly, C is monthly, D is quarterly, and that's a reach out point. That's a reminder to reach out to that person. Now, why would we do this? Because not everyone that walks in is a tire kicker. It's just sometimes they get here way too early. So if they're here way too early, what do they want? They want an education. So I want to give them educational material. I want to share content with them that'll help them grow as a buyer. I want to share the idea of who the lenders are, how the mortgage process works, when do you get into a house. I even have a podcast here called Home Ownership that tells my clients all about buying, selling, and owning a home. Why? Because I know a lot of people who come into my circle, they're not ready yet. But if they have my podcast, they have my blogs, they have all these other things to entertain them, they can keep themselves busy for a while they need to keep themselves busy. You don't want to be out there showing a million properties to somebody only to find out they can't do it. Now, the next thing I want to talk about, what are the risks involved with tire kickers? Well, one of the risks is you insult somebody and you end up with some sort of discrimination case or other things. In the world, everything is about perception. So if you treat one person differently than you treat another, you better have a reason for it. And that's why that pre-approval really comes in. Because the last thing you want to do is decide someone's a tire kicker and then get served with a lawsuit because you discriminated against them or some other thing like that. We want facts and figures. We want details. We want the facts and figures of, do you have a pre-approval? Because remember, right now during COVID-19 and hopefully going forward in the future, most homes will not allow you to show that home without the pre-approval being ready ahead of the showing. And during a busy marketplace, it's easy to explain as well, not only just we can't show the house, but if we like the house and we're going to want to put in an offer, without that pre-approval, we can't do it. So I would say the tire kicker ultimate toolbox to fix it, the weapon of choice, whatever you want to call it, would be that pre-approval. It would be the idea of getting them to put it down. And now, just because they get a pre-approval, does that make them not a tire kicker? No. Not at all. Honestly, sometimes people will have pre-approvals just so they can be an even bigger tire kicker. So make sure to narrow in on them. When you have these people that you're not sure about, ask them these questions. Ask them, what's their timeline look like? What would it take to get them to make a purchase this month? Find out these things. Again, if you have to, you can end up giving them a way and a path towards the timeline that works best for them using the A, B, C, D lead segmentation, really maximizing the touch potential versus maximizing the touches. A lot of people focus the long-term lead conversion to tons and tons and tons of touch points. While a lot of touch points are important, thinking about the value, the actual content, the actual help that you're giving the client, to me is more important. I'd rather have one great piece of content that they read than 100 pieces of content that annoyed them. We want to be very careful about all of that. Narrowing in on the person is an important part of the process, but make sure it doesn't seem like you're putting them on trial. Make sure when you're talking to the person, it's not like they're in Congress and you're asking them questions and not letting them answer. You want to give them time to develop the answers. And remember, silence is key here. Some negotiations, talking helps. Other negotiations, silence helps. When you ask questions that they're really not wanting to answer, asking the question and sitting in silence until they answer or say, I'm not going to answer, is going to get you a lot more answers. Most people will not say, I'm not going to answer. When you sit there in silence, they realize that you're giving them the opportunity to think and then talk. Don't expect everybody to just rapid fire out their talk. Some people have a lot of trouble expressing themselves, so maybe break it down into a few different questions. First off, saying to them, it's a pleasure meeting you. I really enjoy working with you. How long do you think before you want to actually purchase a home? When do you want your move-in date to be? That's a great one because we're giving them the dream of the move-in date. We're talking how do they want to go, and this is one where they can tell us right away. Next questions are, have you been pre-approved yet, or where are you at in the process, and would you like a contact reference? Now notice, I asked them not are you pre-approved, but where are you at in the process, do you understand it, and do you want a reference? It's not just a, do you have a pre-approval, yes or no, because with this one, this type of question, a little more talk helps, because if I'm too short with them, they think a yes, no means that no means I'm fired. And it does not mean that they're fired as a client. It just means that they may be taking a little longer and that we have to get them into that pre-approval stage or step, whichever you want to call it. And then if they say, oh, you know, I'm not actually going to get a pre-approval, then you can feel free to ask them, if you don't mind, just explain to me the reason that you don't want to get a pre-approval. I want to remind you, pre-approvals do not cost any money. They do not obligate you to work with the bank. They do not drastically hurt your credit score. They last on average 3 to 6 months. And it's a beginning step, a way for us to understand exactly how much money they have available to spend. Because I can tell you whether looking bad in the up category or down category, like more expensive or less expensive, either direction, it hurts. So you want to make sure you understand that up front. You can explain that to them. Explain that the difference between $20,000 on your budget could be the difference between a master bedroom and not. It could be the difference between a fenced-in backyard and not. It could be the difference between a shed and not. These are the items that we want to explain to them, because when they start seeing it as valuables, when they start seeing the value in it, they're going to give us more information. Now remember, a lot of people teach you to run away from tire kickers. I'm not teaching you to run away from them. I'm not teaching you to run towards them. I'm teaching you to work with them and understand that most people in this category just don't understand where they are going, why they're going, or how they're going to go. If you just put a little more time into them, I guarantee you'll convert more of them. Learn when to convert them versus dump them, but never dump them early, and always use lead segmentation. Slow down the drip, and then every once in a while, increase the drip. Keep running them through cycles, and you will close more deals than ever. I hope this helps you in this 2020 season. I know things are amazing out there in real estate right now, and everyone's just crushing it, but keep studying, keep learning, and always be growing. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to PM me, DM me, whatever works. Make sure to tell your friends and family about the podcast, blog, Facebook group, and everything else we're doing over here at Real Facts on Real Estate. Check out the website, realfactsonrealestate.com. Have a great afternoon.